Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're studying the book of Revelation. These days, we're in Revelation chapter 12, and we resume our study in verse 14. So if you can, get your Bible, open it up to Revelation 12, verse 14. Just a reminder to you that if you have a hunger for God's Word, you can go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which is found at thebibleversebyverse.com, and you can study the whole Bible, three complete series, over 30 years of my teaching, verse by verse, going through the Bible, using my audio Bible messages. You can study it all at your pace, at your convenience, at thebibleversebyverse.com. So I do hope you check it out, because there's nothing better in the world, nothing more important than the Word of God. Well, let's pray. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's begin reading in Revelation 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw, now let's just stop right there for a second. In case you were not with us last time, the dragon is a reference to the devil. And again, last time we saw that there was war in heaven. When Lucifer fell, he became the devil, and God refers to him as the dragon. And when he rebelled against God, somehow he managed to talk one-third of the good angels into following him. Well, that left Michael with two-thirds of the good angels, and there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels defeated Satan and his angels, kicked him out of heaven. And lo and behold, where did they end up? Well, we see it in verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the male child. And that is a reference to Israel, and is also believing Israel. And in the Old Testament, it would be. And also a reference to God's people in general, the church today. Verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, it's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And then notice verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, a lot of figurative language in these verses. Let's get right to the point, okay? This pictures the fact that Satan, among other things, first and foremost, is God's devil. Yeah, you heard me right. Satan is God's devil. In other words, God is allowing men, God is allowing demons, and the devil himself to exercise their free will. But he has evil on a leash. And that's what I mean when I say Satan is God's devil. If God can't use a bad thing to bring about our long-term spiritual good, he will not let the enemy do it. If the Lord can't use something for his glory, he does not let the devil do it. Nothing that Satan proposes to do can be done unless God allows it. And if he allows it, then God will use it. Verse 17. And the dragon was angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So Satan continues to go on a tear, specifically here after Christians. You see, if Satan can't hurt and destroy one person, then he'll do his very best to hurt and destroy someone else. And his main targets, of course, are Christians, not nominal Christians, not Christians who are Christians in name only. His main targets are Christians who really try to keep God's commandments and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil does not want God to be happy, and he does not want Christians to be holy, because that makes both them and God happy. And as a result, he works very hard to get God's people to sin, because that dishonors God. And it eventually brings misery to God's people. Now let's go into chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And so we see here a very powerful, fierce enemy of Christ and Christians. And the devil, Satan himself, gives this enemy its power, and he uses every bit of it. No Christian should be surprised when they see evil flourishing in this world. And don't be shocked if things get worse, because things are going to get worse before Jesus returns. They will most certainly get worse before they get better. So hang on to the Word of God. Cling to Jesus. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The power of the devil seems to have healed the deadly wound of this evil beast, this beast that persecuted God's people and did all sorts of evil. And so we see that the devil scratches the supernatural itch of the unsaved world with a remarkable miracle. And by doing that, he leads many people astray. You know why that works so well, even today? It's because the Bible says that God has placed eternity in the heart of man. Meaning this. Meaning we are more than physical. We are souls with a spirit, and therefore we hunger for the supernatural. And that's why there are so many religions in the world. They're all an attempt by people to scratch their supernatural itch apart from the one true God. That's why there are so many religions in the world, and even science fiction scratches that supernatural itch for some people. If people do not satisfy their spiritual desires the proper way through Jesus Christ, then Satan will use his power to lead them astray. People are made to connect with someone bigger than them, namely God. That's what the Bible means when it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if they reject God, they're going to find a sorry substitute. And believe me, Satan has a whole bunch of them out there that he will gladly present to people. Find one that makes you comfortable. See? And notice verse 4, and they worship the dragon. They worship the devil, who gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Counterfeit Christianity and counterfeit religion in general provides a temporary alternative for those who don't want to repent and submit to their Creator. And that is exactly what we see here. It's all over the world today, too. These people in verse 4 are impressed with Satan's supernatural power and his false religion and his false god. There's supernatural element, plus the devil, of course, doesn't demand for anyone to repent of their sin in order to have this great religion. And so they gladly worship him. They worship the devil and they worship his god, so-called. In other words, they put him before God. The devil gives wicked sinners what they want. At least for a while, he gets them what they want. So they in turn give him what he wants, and what he always has wanted is devotion that belongs only to God. Verse 5 and 6 together. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Some people are very bold in their sin. And you see it right here. Blaspheming God? Blaspheming the God of heaven? Publicly blaspheming? Tearing into God in front of everybody, trying to impress everyone with a show of supposed strength? All it proves is that they are bold in their sin. And you know why they're bold in their sin? It's the reason that some people are so in your face, God, with their sin today. Those whose evil has become so rampant and has gone on for so long that it has seared their consciences speak as if God is nothing. Nothing more than a verbal punching bag who either doesn't have the guts to do anything about it or the power to do anything about it, but they are brash, and they talk smart without realizing that God could crush the life out of them in a heartbeat. He could crush the life out of them, but is only allowing them to exercise their free will for a time. But when they die, and they always do, and they stand before God, they will quickly realize that they are nothing before the Almighty God that they publicly blasphemed. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Notice again, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. It was given unto him to overcome them. It was given unto him to have power over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's talking about world. That's talking about the whole world. Evil is running rampant. 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The only people who don't buy in to this blasphemous false teacher and his false god led by Satan himself, the only people who see through it are those who measure their supernatural works and their words and their teachings by the written word of God, and they're saved and they know the Bible is the final authority, and no matter what comes their way for not going along with the crowd, they will not go along with the crowd, and they will not worship the devil, and they will not worship his false gods, and they will not become one of the crowd. And it's getting harder and harder to take a stand for the true word of God today when so many people are going after entertainment, Even professing Christians are going after entertainment and worldly ways and all the inhabitants of the earth. I want you to know this. All the inhabitants of the earth worship someone or something. It's true. Say, I don't, I'm an atheist. Baloney. You worship yourself. Whatever's the most important thing to you, that's what you worship. That's your God. And if it isn't the one true God, you got an idol. You're worshiping a false God. Let me say again, all inhabitants of the earth, in this day that this is talking about, and today, worship someone or something. In other words, everyone has a so-called God. Everyone serves a God. If it isn't the one true God and his son Jesus Christ, then it is a false God. Maybe the God of self. Maybe the God of wealth. But it's going to be something. The only people who do not serve a false God are those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. In other words, Jesus said, he who worships me and puts me first has the one true God. He who does not have the one true God. You're following something else, someone else, some idea, some philosophy, whatever it might be, it's your God. That's what it boils down to. And Christians, let me tell you, as time goes on, there are going to be more and more powerful deceptions. Things that could not have even been imagined a few short years ago. They're going to come upon this world, and they're going to test your devotion to Jesus Christ. And they're going to test your faith and your devotion to the written word of God. And you're going to have to decide, when most of the world is going after these things, and there's a powerful supernatural deception involved, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to stick with the revealed word of God or whether you're going to go with the crowd, whether you're going to take a stand and no doubt suffer loss because of it, but remain true to Jesus. And see, this is what's so damnable about all these modern translations, my friends. They all say something different. And don't tell me they all say the same thing. It's impossible. They could not get a copyright. You can't get a copyright for something that says the same thing. And that's why they make these translations. It's not to clarify the King James Version. Or they would have stopped that translation update. They would have stopped that new translation 130 that has been produced in the last 130 years. They just keep coming out like cookie cutters, new translations. This one at last speaks to people today. And all a bunch of counterfeit. An attempt by Satan to confuse people's attitudes toward the Word of God. Well, how can this be the Word of God when they all say something different? Well, you're right. They're not the Word of God. Stick to the King James. Or one of the slight updates of the King James. It's based on the received text. I don't want to get into this. But what I am saying is that you have to have the Word of God. And it's imperative that you stand for the Word of God today and in the future. Just cling to it. Cling to what you know is God's Word. And don't give in to temptations and deceptions. That's why you got to know what the Word of God is. That's why you got to study it verse by verse, from start to finish. So you're either worshiping the one true God and His Son Jesus Christ, or something else. And they're worshiping a whole lot of different things here in the world today, just like they will in this day. Verse 9. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Stop there for a second. You know what God is saying? He's saying there are certain things which must come to pass in my will. Those things will happen, and nothing will stop them from happening. Those things will happen, and no amount of prayer will change them. There are certain things that are destined to happen in the will of God, according to the plan of God, and nothing will stop them from happening. The betrayal, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus Christ was one of those things. The persecution of Christians, in one way or another, at an ever-increasing rate, is another one of those things. Suffering in the will of God is sometimes one of those things. And notice verse 10 again. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. When God doesn't change what we would like changed, then it's wise to pray for patience. Because look at 10 again. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Now listen to what he says. Not a very pleasant thought, right? But listen to what he says. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. See? And again I say, when God doesn't change things that we would like changed, then it is very wise for us to cling with white knuckles to the written word of Almighty God and pray for patience, because we're going to need it. When the Christian life gets hard, Almighty God asks us to remain faithful and endure it. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Notice the way Satan presents himself. Don't be fooled, my friends. He appears in the form of a nice, little, innocent, harmless lamb. But he speaks like a dragon. The devil knows what works. He knows that the best way to get most people to do or believe what is wrong is to disguise himself and his servants to look harmless. False teachers do not look like Mr. Hyde. False teachers look like Dr. Jekyll. And the best way to get people to embrace sin or false teaching is to deceive them into thinking that it is good. Leaders of cults do not come to your door with blood dripping from their eyes and sharp fangs. They come well-groomed with shirts and ties. The devil convinced Eve that he was doing her a favor by telling her to eat of the forbidden fruit. He convinced her that he had her best interest in mind. And it worked. It worked. And that same tactic will continue to work until Jesus returns. It works because so many people fail to measure right and wrong by what the written word of God says. See, this is why I've dedicated my whole Christian life to teaching God's word verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. This is why I keep encouraging you to study the word of God with me in its entirety at the Scripture Verse by Verse website. We need a continual taking in of God's word, so that you can see things that are not right. So many people who call themselves Christians today are lured to sleep and lured into a lukewarm form of Christianity, because on the surface, the things that are done and the things that are said by the teachers, so-called, appeal to the flesh. Don't you get that? And they don't, because they're reading their silly, stupid, useless Bibles that don't even contain the Word of God. If they do, it's by accident, rather than the pure Word of God. Verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by a sword and did live. And of course, the people of the world do it. Because why? Because there was a miracle. Because there was something supernatural that accompanied it. And so they buy into it. Satan is scratching that supernatural itch. All the while, the people do not understand that a miracle proves one thing. You know what it proves? It proves that a miracle has been done. It doesn't prove that it's of God. What proves that it's of God or not is what does the pure Word of God say concerning the message that accompanied the miracle. That's why people, like I mentioned this a while back, people who say they've died and they've gone to heaven, they come back and they have all these sensational explanations of what heaven is like. I don't believe one of them. Doesn't line up with Scripture. Doesn't line up with Scripture. Because Paul really did go to heaven. And when he came back, he said, I can't tell you what it's like. It's not lawful for people to, we don't have enough words. We don't have the right vocabulary. I can't tell you. So these jokers, they go up to heaven and they come back, and it's amazing how they all say something different. what a racket. But people believe them. It doesn't line up with Scripture. I don't believe it. People gravitate to the supernatural. That's what we learn from these three verses. Some will believe just about anything if it's accompanied by something that seems supernatural. I've known professing Christians who will disregard the clear teaching of Scripture to follow something because it had a supernatural element to it. But listen to what God says. Listen to what God says, okay, about this matter. And this is what I've been saying. But listen to what God says, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. Please listen. But, it says this, if there arise among you a prophet, in other words, one who claims to be speaking for God, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke unto you, and he says, let's go after other gods. In other words, let's do something contrary to what the Word of God says. You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet. Listen to this. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Enough said. Follow the Word of God. And you're not going to follow it unless you study it, unless you read it. This is going to become more important as time goes on, because the deceptions are going to become more powerful. Study the Word of God with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. From Genesis through Revelation, all you need to bring is your Bible. You have the opportunity to study the written Word of God. Click and listen to my audio Bible messages, three complete series going through the Bible at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination, so if you want to be a part of this ministry, click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give us the Lord may lead. So long.